Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Monique Scott, and this is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today. And Monique, we got off to a good start with our doing shows together last week, of course. After one show, doing a show together, we actually got some listener mail, which was pretty cool. So I'm going to get to that in a moment, but I'm making it a practice last few days anyway to get some of the housekeeping chores done before we get to that. So I think this is actually my third day in a row. I'm actually remembering to say this. Putting the notes up on the screen helps, I'm just saying. But this is a little notice for Android users. If you've already heard it and already upgraded, great. Just ignore it. If you haven't done the upgrade, Google and I had a little disagreement with the LOA Today app. I won't go into the details because it's just not a fun story. But the bottom line is the way we settled it out, if you have the version of the app 1.1.83 or less, you can tell the top right corner of the screen shows what your version number is. If it's 8.3 or less, if it ends in 8.3 or less, your app's not going to update anymore. It will update shows, but if any changes to the app, you won't get. So what you need to do is you need to uninstall the app and then install the latest version. You can do it through the link that's in most of the episodes, and then you'll be good to go. If you're an iPhone user, if you're a PC user, a Mac user, no problem. You're just fine. It's only for those lucky Android users. But once we get that all straightened out at your end, we'll be good to go. The one thing I want to caution you, make sure that you, if you have version 8.3 or less, that you uninstall it first. You remove it from the phone first, delete it from the phone, and then install. If you try to do it the other way around, let's just say you don't want to go there. Not a happy day. No. So, yeah. So take care of that. Get that out of the way, and then everything will be just hunky-dory. The other thing I want to tell people about, and I've been trying to remember to do this the last few days, and yesterday I remembered to do it. I'm going to do it again today. This actually came off of a show we did about almost 2 weeks ago. I was doing it with Rita Gigante on a Friday, and I was telling you, Monique, I think last week, about how I'm developing this side career, if you will, as a speaker.
Yeah, public speaking.
Right, public speaking. Well, I had been kind of broaching some of the ideas of what I'd been putting together for my basic talk, my main talk. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've been wanting to do, I think I mentioned to you, is I wanted to create games for people to play to build up self-love, self-esteem. And so I just started naming some games and describing them, you know, as they came to my head. And Rita was getting all excited about it. She thought that was pretty cool. So I kind of just half-heartedly tossed out there, you know, maybe we should do like an online games day for people who are listeners and who want to participate. And it would help me to, you know, kind of field test the games before I go give a talk and so forth.
Yeah.
And then I forgot about it and just kind of skipped it for a week, 10 days until, excuse me, till one of the listeners, oh my goodness, got a little apple in my throat, till one of the listeners wrote and said that she was really interested in it and reminded me that I'd actually said that. And so I'm making it a point to kind of continue to put the feeler out there. If there are any other listeners, I've had a couple listeners now who have expressed interest, and if we can get a few more, so it really becomes worthwhile to actually have a group game like that, I'll schedule something on a weekend. So, you know, use the LOA Today app. You can use the question form there to reach out to us, or send me an email, walt@loatoday.net, and get enough listeners, we'll put together a game day. It'll be fun. So
sounds fun.
Yeah, it'll be good. And then getting to the email that we got, this is from Barbie, who is a regular listener. And she says, thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing your college experience stories last week. I was so moved last week when I heard the episode. Your story resonated with me, Walt, and when I first heard it, having attended a large university myself and having a similar experience, albeit not as intense, when I heard Monique's too and having such a similar story, I had to wonder, were we all caught in a naive bubble of the 1970s with parents not knowing how to prepare us for the new post-Vietnam War attitudes and influences prior to the Just Say No campaign? I was suddenly given all the independence, yet no self-discipline, curfews, and parental structure evaporated, or solid study habits established. I struggled socially because I had experienced the party scene and it wasn't appealing or affordable to continue. I had to work to attend college where I, the sentence structure fell apart, but she roomed with family funding. And she said, although I thought I was focused on acquiring an education, I blew it because I realized after years of analyzing, I didn't have the skill set to prioritize my time and energy. I got off track and my life took turns I wouldn't have intentionally manifested. And she said, I felt shame and disappointment for years, which fortunately and finally led her to the LA community through Louise Hay and Wayne Dyer's works and eventually to us here on the show and to all the fabulous co-hosts. And she says, by the way, make sure Cindy comes back. And I'm sure we're going to hear from Cindy again. You can count on that. Now, she also says, none of this was my parents' fault. They definitely did all that they knew how to do, but I've learned since. I believe if I had heard what you intend to share with these young people, well, my life would have been very different. Trust me, it's by no means bad, as I learned in the last 8+ years how to manifest and accept this or something better and to find joy in the avenues my life has traveled. But I believe I would have had a more direct route to my happiness. And then she also references yesterday's show with Dean regarding loving yourself as a powerful tool. She says, I also would like to join in on the game. So she's one of the people who wrote it in about playing a weekend online game thing. And please keep up the amazing work, she says, and helping us raise all the vibes. And she concludes very nicely. So thank you very much, Barbie, for sending in that
letter. Yeah, thanks, Barbie.
How about that? We actually made a big impact on your first visit. Or first official visit, I should say, as a co-host. So yeah, good stuff. You know, as we're kind of like reflecting on what we talked about last week, have you had any other further thoughts about what we were talking about? Because I mean, I know it's been on my mind partly because I'm still, you know, developing the talk, but I'm just curious, had you kind of carried on the conversation yourself outside of the podcast?
Surprisingly, no, I haven't. I've been so mired down with the work, I haven't had very many conversations at all with anyone.
No, all right. Okay. Well, that's fine. No problem. I was just curious if you had any extra thoughts on it. I do know that as I've been figuring out my talk, I actually do have a core topic identified in 3 words or less. You're supposed to be able to have your elevator speech, right? So you can tell anybody at any given time what your talk is on. And I finally have narrowed it down. It's increasing self-love. So now I know what the topic of my talk is, which is good. You know, it makes it easier to write the outline, among other things.
Yes, and it's a topic that's well needed. I guess I did kind of have a conversation around that today. I didn't even realize it until just now with a relative, and we were talking about that.
Yeah. It's like Barbie said in her email, it's not like parents don't want to have the talk. It's that they don't know how to have the talk.
Right.
And I don't think it's just the generation that went to school in the 70s either. I'm pretty sure this has been a problem that's been kind of continuing and even expanding over the decades since then. I'll just base it on the idea of what the statistics were that I've been able to dig up that I'm planning to use in the talk about how 98% of all college students experience moderate to severe stress and how the numbers, the percentages of people who are reporting things like, you know, being exhausted without having done physical energy. These are college students, by the way. You know, these are the ones who are like at the peak of their physical abilities and so forth. They're exhausted without doing anything. You know, 67% or something like that, 75%. You know, people who just feel sad for no reason at all, people who are dealing with depression. And yet, despite the fact that they have, the modern schools have a whole lot more services available back when you and I were in school. You
know, definitely.
But even then, only about a third of the ones who have experienced these problems are actually seeking help. So basically, that means there's a larger chunk of the population that isn't getting help, that are continuing to experience the same kinds of pressures we knew, but on a larger scale.
Right.
Plus, you add in what's going on with, I mean, I'm sure you had to deal with financial aid. I had to deal with financial aid. But the cost of financial aid has risen. You know, so that's piled on. And then, oh my God, COVID. Now they got COVID to deal with. It's a nightmare.
So much more.
So I first of all, I'm not sure what most parents would even know to say, you know, if they did understand the issue. Yeah. But I guess I'm feeling like let's revisit the issue of why it is we don't know more about self-love. That's kind of what we talked about last week, but boy, it is a big deal. And by the way, it doesn't limit itself to college.
No.
It goes on.
Because my relative that I was talking to, we're the same age. She's 50 and I'm 50. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It goes on. And it goes on until we address it. But we don't know to address it.
Right. And it's interesting that it's not really something that society talks about, because like I said, a lot of times it gets misconstrued as loving, in my opinion, loving yourself. But then maybe coming across as arrogant or, I don't know, self-righteous, or you think you're all that, and, or who are you? But it's really not about that at all. It really is just about loving and appreciating yourself for who you are. And I don't think that society is really great at helping us to find our own individuality. I think you'll agree with me now, Walt. It's so much more, it's better now than
it is
back in the 70s. The conformity is not as great. You can see that with the kids today, the music, how they express themselves physically, as well as, you know, verbally through music and arts and other stuff. It wasn't like that when we were coming up. So I think it's a little bit better now, but still overall, you know, a lot of people have been shamed into feeling like, well, if you don't fit this box, something's wrong with you. Or if you don't think like this, or you don't belong to this party, or you don't dress like this, right? Something's wrong with you. And that translates, I think, over to people self-loathing, starting to not appreciate and love themselves as the individuals that we all are.
I agree completely. I totally agree. And actually, I mean, you identified some things that are different, but actually there's not a whole lot of difference. I mean, what are the other differences? Well, we have computers now. We've got smartphones now. Right. We got social media now. We got the Real Housewives now. But I mean, there aren't all that many differences. It's fairly similar. It's just there's more of the stuff. That's about it.
More information.
Access to
information.
Yeah. Right. And a lot of it's wrong.
A lot. No, Walt, if it's on the internet, it's got to be real.
It's all true.
Right. But no,
actually,
I think
there's a good thing there. There's a good thing there. I mean, this is kind of a tangent, but especially with all the stuff that's gone on politically and all the stuff that's been going on, where all the major stuff is concerned, the economics issues, the COVID issues, the racial issues, I mean, all of them, there is so much disinformation out there. And the good part about that is when you get basically run over by disinformation and you aren't really good at sorting it out, right, it's kind of like being thrown into the deep end of the swimming pool and learning how to swim. It's not the best way to learn, but you do learn.
Yeah.
It's painful.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going on.
Not only are you not taught to sort it out, but if you're a young adolescent or a young adult like we were going to college, do you even really know to sort it out? You know, do you even really know that you should be taking a stop and looking at these individual things that make you look at yourself or how you feel about yourself? I know I didn't. Like, coming into the awareness of the law of attraction, before whatever thought came into my mind, I just thought that was normal. I didn't even know I had control to think a different thought, right? So thinking about it that way, do they even know how to decipher all this incoming information that they're internalizing that may make them feel less than, may make them feel not worthy, and just not love themselves? Especially, unfortunately, if you're in a family that's not inclusive or accepting, you know, if your sexuality, or maybe you're biracial or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So it can be a lot. It can be a lot for kids, but also just people in general.
It is a lot. I mean, I don't know about you. I think it's even more basic than knowing how to do it. I think it's knowing that you can do it and
right.
Do it.
Exactly.
It wasn't even on my radar for years. Like, oh, that's actually a possibility. You could actually do that. That was not on my radar at all.
Yeah, it was never on my radar until I became an adult, like in my 40s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, good for you for getting it done by your 40s. Took me to my 50s, so.
Well, I'm not far behind.
Yeah, right. But, oh, my goodness. Yeah, it is a big, big deal. And actually, I've been thinking already. I mean, I'm planning to reach out to do colleges, universities, and so forth.
Oh, I think that's amazing.
I think that's where the biggest need is. But it's also occurring to me, this is something that is needed everywhere. So I'm thinking, like, reach out to corporations, reach out to, you know, anybody who has any kind of organization. Yeah. There are all kinds of organizations out there that do, you know, events of various kinds. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just did what I like to do whenever I'm doing research to find out what's going on with the population regarding X, whatever X is. I'll do normal research. I'll Google it. You know, I'll do that kind of stuff. But once I've kind of narrowed it down to where I think my conclusions are leading to, mm-hmm. I'll actually go on to Facebook, to the ad manager, as if I were going to set up an ad to see what do I find there in terms of where, because you can narrow down audience there. That's right. The tool that I'm using. So I'm trying to find out, like, you know, how many people have an interest in, say, the topic of anxiety or depression or, you know, any of these other things that are basically about not having that kind of control. Mm-hmm. And the numbers are scary. Huge, like hundreds of millions of people being tapped into these issues. And I'm thinking, is there any aspect of society that doesn't need this message?
Right. And I think it's so important as well, because when you think about it, it also can spill over into your family life, especially people who are having children. When you become a parent, a lot of people, you know, projecting their self-loathing or whatever onto their children, right? So it's really important for us to learn to love and appreciate ourselves so that we can give that to others. Because like I said, you cannot give to someone what you don't have for yourself.
That's the truth. Yeah. Oh, that is really true. Now, on the plus side, the good news is there are communities like this one, like the spiritual / law of attraction / fill in the blank community, where we're becoming pretty aware of this. There are a lot of people in this community who are recognizing the importance and the value of building self-value, self-confidence, self-love, and so forth. And so that's positive. And combine that with the perception that many people have, myself included, that there's this kind of a spiritual awakening going on very slowly, but happening worldwide. Certain places more than in other places, but nevertheless, it's happening everywhere.
Right.
That's encouraging. You know, very. Especially in the face of what we grew up with, it's like, oh my God, there's actually some awakening going on here on something that's really, really important. It's cool.
Yeah, that's part of what I love about manifestation as well, or the law of attraction. Part of how I use it with my clients is kind of like on a personal development, I guess, if you will, just learning to love yourself and knowing that anything that you wish or you desire to manifest, you're absolutely worthy. You can have it, you know. It's not out of your reach and there's no reason why you shouldn't. You know, as long as it's a good thing and, you know, you're wanting to help mankind, why not? Right?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Well, and you mentioned the fact that you're doing stuff with your clients and it, you know, clicked in my head. Oh, yeah, she's probably dealing with this issue pretty regularly because so many people are evidencing it, giving indications that it is an issue for them. Where do you see it show up most often? Do you see it show up in like particular topic areas or particular needs areas or something like that? How do you see it showing up with clients?
With my clients, I mostly see it showing up as worthiness, right? Mm. So not feeling like, let's say they want to manifest a new car or a new home or something that they kind of feel might be out of reach, or, oh my gosh, that's so much, right? So then I see that they have an issue about, well, do I deserve that? Am I worthy to have that? You know, somebody like me, as if somehow they're not deserving of it, or like they're less than, and someone else should have it. That's mostly where I see it show up, which is why I've pretty much put that personal development. I just call it personal development, but it is self-love and self-worthiness inside of my program, because it's, I only coach women, and that's a huge thing with us. Okay. Definitely. Because so, we're so used to putting a lot of people ahead of us, you know, our spouse, our children, family, work, whatever, right? And us being last. So I really try to work on that piece.
How do you go about it in your personal development program? I mean, what's your approach that you take to educate your clients?
Well, the first thing I do is I kind of have what I call, it's like a little mini clarity course. And there's like six major areas that I have like a worksheet for them to go through. Mm-hmm. And part of the worksheet is you look at where you are now and what you have now, how you feel about yourself now. And the next part is, where do you see yourself? Where do you want to go? What do you believe is possible for you? So that's like the very first place that I start, not only so that I get an assessment of where they are, but so that they get an opportunity to see how they think. Because a lot of times, Walt, I don't think people are really aware, especially like if you do a lot of negative self-talk, people are not aware that they're saying these negative things, right? Or feeling these negative thoughts. So it's really just me getting them outside of themselves and letting them read it back and be like, oh my gosh, I really feel like that. Oh my gosh, I really think that about myself, or you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
sure.
And so then I go from there.
You're establishing a baseline is what you're doing, so that as you do work with them, then you can point back and say, well, let's see how far we've actually progressed from when we started. So that makes
exactly.
sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very scientific way of doing it. And then when you, well, yeah, it is. I mean, let's be honest. It's good. And let's also follow up and ask, well, okay, so you've established a baseline. Where do you go next? Does it go case by case, or is there a particular approach you always take?
My program is kind of like a hybrid where it's sort of case by case. It's kind of like a one-on-one and group coaching. Mm-hmm. So it is individualized based on the person, but by and large, Walt, they all pretty much feel the same way or have the same feelings. Mm-hmm. So from there, yeah, I have like a particular kind of methodology that I take them through on how to, it's similar to kind of like Tony Robbins, I guess, if you're familiar with him.
And yeah, sure.
So personal power kind of thing, right? Just starting to empower them about where they want to go and what's possible for them.
Mm-hmm. So you're basically opening up the horizons to that point, saying here's stuff you hadn't really perhaps thought about that could be where you could get to. And it really is available to you. It's not just a pipe dream.
Right. And that's the little light bulb that I love to see that goes off when they do realize, oh my gosh, this is available for me. And I think for my clients, one, because I'm older, two, I've changed my life, so to speak, so late in life, if you will. You know, I'm not some 20 or 30 year old, right?
Yeah, right.
I decided to move to Miami and quit my job and start a business, right? But they get a chance to see these things are possible for you. I mean, just yesterday I went to go and test drive my next car, the Infiniti Q60, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, like, I don't know, 5 years ago, no, I wouldn't have thought that that was possible for me, or, ooh, that car, that's too much for me. You know, let me just get something,
right,
you know, average or whatever, right? But I love that they get a chance to see that, hey, if I can do it, you can do it. You know, there's nothing special about me. You just have to know what you want and be willing to go after it and believe that you can have it.
Well, I have to partly disagree. I think there's a lot that's special about you, but we'll leave that for the moment. Continuing on with what you talk about with your clients, though, I love what you're doing there. And what you're doing reminds me of something that Louise and I have done at various times. We called it LOAing or laying LOA groundwork. We would go, like, let's say we would go car hunting for a car that we couldn't possibly afford.
Right.
Just to experience sitting in the car in the showroom, or maybe even taking it out on a test drive and getting into the vibrational feel of that, or house hunting for a house that's way outside of our price
range. Right.
You know, and walk into the house and, oh yeah, this would be good. You know, I can't believe they did that with the kitchen. You know, all this, yeah. All the things that you would normally do as if, yeah. You know, you're the real buyer, right?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
It works. It actually works. You have to do it a number of times, I found. But if you do it a number of times, you start to believe. You start to build it up in your mind. And it does contribute to the overall plan, I'll call it. I don't really actually follow a plan. But in a sense, there's a plan. It's a plan of, you know, I have various things that I'm trying to attract into my life. So that's a plan, kind of, sort of. And it advances the plan in ways that I don't actually see immediately. But right. It does, mainly because it's building, like you said, it builds my own self-confidence, my own belief that, yeah, I really can get that stuff. I really can have that.
It's yeah.
So I like the fact that you're talking about that.
Inside my program, because that's exactly what I have them do. You know me, Walt. I don't believe in manifesting small. I don't believe in manifesting in small stages. I've not done it. I don't think that it's necessary, but that's my opinion. So. Mm-hmm. Again, I tell my clients, if you want the Maserati, why bother with the Mazda? You know you don't want that. You know you don't want that, right?
I love it.
You do want the Maserati or the Mercedes or the Porsche, right? So go after it. You know, mm-hmm. There's no rule that says, oh, you got to start out with a Ford. Then you got to move to Nissan. Then you got to move to Infiniti. Then, you know, there's no steps, so to speak.
But the other kind of steps I can point to is where's your belief at? If you don't have belief, if your belief is so low that you're actually convinced it's not going to happen,
right.
And you know, so therefore you're going to be in a position of lack. Well, that's probably not a good path to be on.
No.
But as long as you're not on that path, go for the Maserati, right? Why not?
Why not?
You know, go right. For it. Have a good time. You know,
you only get one life.
Well, one of the things you might find is that you actually don't like the Maserati, you like the Jag better. I mean,
whatever. I have a client who's manifesting a Jaguar right now because that's what
really?
She wants.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Louis D'Souza, who does the Monday show and the manifested, he has a whole story about how he manifested his Jag. And it was cool. It was fun. And it was ideal manifestation in the sense that he wasn't trying to go to work to manifest it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with manifesting by going to work. He just wasn't trying to do that. He was just trying to get in the vibrational place to see what would happen. And ended up getting a used Jag that he loves. In fact, he talks about it like once every 3 or 4 shows. He just goes on and on about the Jag and what he's been doing with it lately. And, you know, how he loves all the special features. He keeps finding new features he didn't know existed before and things like that.
Yeah. Exactly. And I love that. I love the fact that, you know, he wasn't really focused on working hard for it, but more nope. So getting into alignment with the thing that he was looking to attract to him. That's important too.
By the way, you'll be interested to know that attracting, manifesting Jags in particular is an ongoing theme here on the show.
Really?
Louis is not the first co-host to have manifested not one, but multiple Jaguars.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
Maybe I should switch from the Infiniti to the Jag.
Well, hey, you know, it comes down to what you love. So if you love it, sure, why not? Go for it.
Right.
One of my earliest co-hosts was Wendy Dillard. She was on with me for almost a year. And unlike you guys, she was doing all 5 days with me. She did all mm-hmm. of the afternoon shows. Yeah, so... Yeah. She was only on for a year, but she did like 5 years worth in that Ooh, 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she did a lot of episodes with me and she told me the story about how she not only manifested a Jag for herself, but she manifested one for her husband who got jealous when she got hers.
Oh, love it. Love it.
Yeah. So that's kind of what kicked it off. And, then I had another co-host who was on for a short time. Stephen Rowell, who's a friend of Daniel Mangana's, who's now a co-host. And Steve had a time period where he was just manifesting cars all over the place. It was crazy.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yes. And just like, you know, in fact, in his case, it almost didn't matter what the car was. As long as it was a sports car, he wanted to manifest it. And then once he'd manifested, he didn't care about it anymore. He just wanted to return to the deal and get the next one.
It sounds like the thrill of the manifesting is what he really
It is. Did. That's what he loved.
He could do
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And I've actually lost touch with Steve. Steve, if you happen to be listening in, get in touch with me because my old contact information for you doesn't work anymore. But
Steve, and I want to hear the stories too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really cool. So, okay. Maybe you'll be the next JAG story. We'll find out.
Who knows? Although they did have one on the lot yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they did.
Did you go over to look at it?
I did, but that's too much car for me. I like a two-seater. Since I'm single, I'd like two-seater. I like coupes.
Okay. Well, now you know. That's part of the process, isn't it? It's identifying what you like and what you don't like.
I'm very clear on that.
That's good. You must be a very, very much of a master manifester if you're that clear, because that's what it takes, is the clarity.
It really does. It really does. And that's kind of some of the stuff that I talk about on Clubhouse during the week as well. Just people being clear on what it is that they want. Because we have so many choices, Walt. So many choices. People just don't know. Like, well, I could have this or I could have that. You can have it all. But what do you want now? Right? Mm-hmm. What are we going to focus on? What's the one thing we're going to focus on right now?
Yeah. Now, the way you said that, I'm not criticizing what you said, but it just cued something in my mind. Sure. The way you said that reflects to me something that I hear from people who run into frustrations. And that is that they get very clear about something that they want, but it doesn't show up. And then when we dig in a little bit further, we find, they were in great clarity for that moment. And for the rest of their lives, they're in crap clarity. they're not in a good space, but they don't see that part.
Right.
I imagine that's something you run into with clients too.
Yeah, sometimes. Mm-hmm. Not very often, but sometimes.
Oh, good. Well, not very often is an improvement as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I'd like that's to really think good. They're doing a little bit of a good job, right, and helping them to get clear on what they want and teaching, I don't know if I want to say teaching them, how to raise their vibration, but showing them how to do it and how to stay there so that they manifest things that they want. Because that's a struggle too for a lot of people, staying in their vibration, especially like you said, when you don't see anything showing up or it doesn't look like anything's happening. And I always tell them that's when I feel like the universe is working the most, when you don't see anything happening, because that's usually how it works out for me. When
I start to
get a little frustrated, but I know that the impatience is just that. It's a little bit of doubt starting to creep in. That's why I'm getting impatient, because it's not showing up. Mm-hmm. So then I, kind of have to reel myself back in, like, okay. You know it's coming. Just calm down. It always comes.
Yeah, that's good. As you know, I mentioned it at the top of the cast today. I'm putting together a series of games. I mean, that's the whole idea of having that game weekend. And I'm going to be using it in my talks that I put together. And I've been kind of figuring out what some of those games are. Those are all about raising vibration. That's the whole purpose, to get into that better mindset and into more of a self-loving mindset and a higher self-confidence mindset. But of course, games are only one way to go about doing that. Are there any particular things you like to teach, any particular processes or activities or anything like that that you teach to your clients that you'd want to share about how to build and maintain? It's the maintaining that's the really big deal, maintaining that high vibration.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like super woo-woo or anything.
It doesn't have to be.
I just teach them what has worked for me. So I have a favorite, I guess if you want to call it a law of attraction, YouTube channel. And on the channel, all the guy does is read manifestation stories that people have sent him literally from around the world. That's it. It's just one guy holding his phone, reading people's manifestation stories. And so I have found that when I listen to at least two or three, sometimes up to five of them, it helps to build not only my confidence in being able to manifest, but also just listening to the various scenarios of, I'm telling you, Walt, it's everything from money to businesses to jobs to babies. Cool. When the doctor said you could not have a baby,
right.
Getting pregnant, everything you can think of. And so I have what I call like a manifestation resource guide. And it's just a link to, it has to be like 20 different stories that I think kind of runs the gamut from this to that, A to Z, if you will. And I've found that when they listen to those manifestation stories, it helps to raise their vibration. They're less doubtful. They get to feel more confident that, okay, so if that happened for them, surely this can happen for me. And that tends to raise their vibration. And I tell them, if you're not feeling particularly happy or you're having a bad day or something like that, or you're in a lower vibration, listen to a song that makes you happy. Think about something or someone that makes you happy, something that's going to consciously put you at a higher vibration. And I do tell them, look, it's not always easy, because when we're feeling bad or sad or down, we have a tendency to want to stay there because, I mean, honestly, it kind of feels good in the moment.
It does.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yep. And we feel like we are entitled to feel that way. And of course we are. It's our feelings, right?
Sure.
But I let them know it's okay. Feel it, acknowledge it, don't stay there. Move on. Consciously decide, okay, I see what's going on. Let me find something to raise my vibration and change my thoughts. And that's a lot of it, just getting them to understand that you have to take control of your own thoughts, right? You just can't expect the feelings or the thoughts to go away.
That's true. Yeah. Taking that responsibility is a huge deal. And you also reminded me of something I'd forgotten. I actually put out a book a few years ago called Real Success Stories of the Law of Attraction that
really?
I co-wrote with a bunch of other life coaches like yourself. About 30 or 40 of us put together, contributed these stories. I edited the whole thing. Yeah, it's available on Amazon. And
cool.
I'd forgotten that that would be a resource that I could use for this. But yeah, it's right there. It's both in paperback and Kindle format. And yeah, take a look at it.
Yeah, you should put the link in the show notes for sure.
Sure. Yeah, I'll be glad to do that. But you're reminding me, that's a good resource that I can include in my talk. I'd forgotten about that. So thank you for the heads up.
Oh, sure. Oh, Walt, can I tell you kind of like a manifestation game that I did this
week? Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
So I wrote about it on Facebook. And what's today? Wednesday. So I think this was Monday. So okay. Sunday, I decided, you know what? Tomorrow when I'm walking home from the gym, I'm going to manifest 20 cents.
Cool.
That's it. 20 cents, right? A lot of times when I'm walking from the gym here in the apartment complex and I'm walking back, I might find a penny or two, maybe. Most times not, but sometimes I do, right? So then I set the intention. I said, you know what? Tomorrow morning when I walk back from the gym, I'm going to manifest 20 cents. Two dimes. That's what I saw in my mind, right? Two dimes. Mm-hmm. So on the way back walking, I'm looking on the ground and I'm looking. I found a penny and I was like, okay, God, here we go. I was getting all excited, right? Mm-hmm. I walk a little bit further. I came across a nickel. All right. Now we're getting somewhere. Okay. So as I began walking more and more, I was like, okay, God, so where's the rest? And this might be a little controversial for some people, but I hear God speaking to me, right? So just like I hear
on this show, there's nothing controversial about that.
Okay, good.
We got people way ahead of you. You're like 45th in line. Don't worry about it.
Okay, great. So I heard God tell me, you know, if you want wealth and abundance, Monique, it's not just going to come to you. You have to do your part. You've got to do something. And I said, okay, God, so I'm going to keep walking around this parking lot until I find the rest of my money, right?
Okay. All right.
So long story short, the next thing I came across was a dime. By the time I got home from walking the parking lot, I had 24 cents.
Ah.
24 cents, right?
All right.
And so the moral of that story for me, Walt, was one, seek and you shall find, right? So mm-hmm. if you expect abundance, you'll receive abundance. And I believe mm-hmm. that's why I found it, so to speak, the money, is because I expected to. I asked, but I also expected to receive the thing that I was looking to manifest, right? Mm-hmm. There was no doubt in my mind as I was walking whether or not I was going to find the 20 cents. Now, mind you, it didn't come in the form that I thought it was going to come, like the two dimes, right?
True. Yeah.
But isn't that somehow, sometimes how our manifestations go, though?
It most manifests, of the time, I would
but
say.
Not in the way that we think it's going to manifest.
I mean, it's really cool when they come out exact, but it's not, it doesn't have, vibration is vibration. Two dimes and four nickels, it's the same vibration. There's not a whole lot of difference going on there.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So, you know, why get worked up about, but it didn't vibrate the way I wanted it to. That's just too petty for me. I can't handle that one.
But you know, there's probably always going to be somebody out there.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Well, yeah. But I'm with you, Walt. I'm just glad that I get the manifestation, right?
Yeah.
God, universe, handle it how you're going to handle it. Do your part, right? But I'm expecting it to come. And so I was just like super excited when I got into the apartment and I put the money down on the countertop and I was, you know, told my daughter, look what I got. She comes running over, Walt, and she looks and she's like, that's it.
Yeah, but you don't understand, right?
And so I had to tell her the whole story. And I'm teaching her how to manifest, right? She's getting there. She's not as good as me, but she's getting there, right? Once I explained to her why I was so excited, then it was kind of like almost like a sarcastic pat on the back, like, okay, Mom, that's great, dear, kind of thing, right?
Hey, a pat on the back is a pat on the back. I don't really care.
But I was super excited. And that just, you know, those are the types of little manifestation games that I like to play sometimes, right? Just to kind of keep me sharp.
Well, it's reminiscent of Dan Mangana's ebook, The Money Game. It's basically attracting fun money, you know, money that just kind of appears out of thin air. You don't set a deadline on it. You simply set the intention of X amount or more, and you start with a small amount. It can be as small as, like you said, 20 cents. I decided to start playing it last August, and I got through phase one this past Tuesday. Not yesterday, but a week ago Tuesday. Okay. It's broken up into three phases. Each phase has five different asks.
Okay.
And I completed my first five asks. And listeners will tell you, one of my challenges is that I have a tendency to get what I'm asking for and fail to make the connection that I asked for this thing that showed up. So
really?
money will show up. Oh yeah. Okay. I got a check from somebody and I'll dismiss the idea that I'd actually requested that, you know, an amount or more and that check matched that amount. Never mind that it was out of thin air and I didn't expect it. I just kind of forget about it.
Right.
And then I'm doing the show with Daniel and I'm saying, oh my God, I just realized I manifested one of my things. I forgot.
Right. You know, that's because you're so independently wealthy that when money comes to you, you know, you
start
about it while
it's like my friend Joel, who was a co-host for a number of years. I've told this story a few times lately. He had a client who literally is a billionaire and they were doing a session one time by phone and the guy was sitting at his desk and he picked up a paper and, oh, okay. And put it down. Joel said, what's that all about? He said, oh, it's just a $17 million dividend check I forgot about.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Perspective is everything, right? You're a billionaire. Right. What's $17 million to you? It's nothing.
Right.
So, you know, I'll deposit it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get around to it. Right.
Perspective is everything. It really is. But cool. Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that. That's good. That's really good. I like anything that can.
Little thing.
Yeah. Anything that adds to the list. I mean, the list keeps growing of all the different things that I can include in my talks, but just having them available. Well, it's like doing it here on the show. I mean, having the stuff that you guys feed to me, that becomes part of my toolbox. And the more my toolbox gets bigger, the more things that I can do. So, yeah, I'm appreciating that. Thank you very much.
I'm sure.
That's part of the fun of doing this project. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to become a really successful speaker or if I'm even going to like it once I start doing it. I think I probably will like it. I like doing the podcast. So, you know, kind of A leads to B, but you never really know. But it's a fun process. And that's a nice turnaround. That's a nice change for me. because mm-hmm. I've launched lots of little projects over the years, a lot of them with the intention of making money, some of them without the intention of making money. Like Elevate Today, I had no intention of money making. I just did the project because I liked the project.
Right.
But in all the cases where there was at least some possibility of money involved, I would very quickly get into a space of angst, of anxiety, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, Jesus, this is going to work out and so forth. This is one of those times, and I'm sure this is because of work I've been doing on my own self-love and my own self-confidence over the years, particularly through doing the show. This is one where I'm in the middle of the project and there's no anxiety. There's none at all. The biggest anxiety is, can I get this next phase done today? That's the biggest anxiety. You know, never anything about, well, is it going to work out? If it works out, it works out. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. I'm not attached to it. Yeah, I'm not attached. And that makes it fun.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. I mean, I'm doing stuff that I've done in the past, you know, graphic design for, you know, creating a pricing sheet and, you know, creating the video and, you know, various tasks that I know how to do mm-hmm. that are jobs, they're work, you know, they're not fun. Oh, I can hardly wait to get this done, but they're fun. They're fun. There's a fun side to them. And it's simply because I'm feeling better about myself, number one. That's the most important
one. Yeah.
And number two, I have no attachment to the outcome.
A lot of times when you don't have attachment to the outcome, that's when it comes.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of expecting it's going to. It's building that certainty. We talked about that last week, that sense of certainty.
Yeah.
The sense of certainty is building pretty strong. I figured that out today for sure. When I was putting together that pricing sheet, because I saw what I put down for prices. If I had put these prices down, say, 3 years ago, I would have said, yeah, forget this one. This isn't going to work. And I would have thrown it out because I would have said that was far too high. No one's going to ever pay me for that.
Right.
You know, today I put down the prices. I said, yeah, I'm worth that. And literally, I meant that. That wasn't something I was trying to convince myself of. It's like, yeah, I'm really
this
worth
that.
This
is what that. The price
is. Yeah. Like, holy crap. Boy, yeah. Do I have a high opinion of myself.
Hey, you're getting paid for all that knowledge that you gained over the year.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of a story. I don't know if this is a true story, but it's a story from the 19th century about a court case. Mm-hmm. It was the case of an artist who had been commissioned to do a painting for a patron, and the patron ended up taking him to court, claiming that he had charged too much money to do the painting.
Uh-huh.
Well, they got into the courtroom and the patron made his complaint to the judge and presented his evidence. And here's what the other painters are charging and yada, 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 all this stuff. And I don't know what the exact number was. I'll say $10,000 because that would have been a huge amount of money for that period, you know?
Yeah.
So let's just say it was $10,000. And so after he's done, the judge turns to the defendant, to the painter, to the artist and says, what do you have to say for yourself? And the artist says, well, Your Honor, the plaintiff was complaining that the amount of money, among other things, the amount of money I'm charging was far too high for an hourly rate, that the number of hours I actually put in to do the painting is not justified by the price and so mm-hmm. forth. But I want to point out to him something that he's overlooked. I didn't charge him for the number of hours it took me to do the painting. I charged him for the lifetime it took to learn how to do the painting.
Yes.
And he won the case. He won the case.
Yeah.
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 I've always remembered that story because we don't tend to value properly all of the lessons that we learn in life, including the hard knocks lessons, the ones mm-hmm. that knock some sense into our heads or teach us yeah. something that we really didn't want to learn in this other context, but in that context, it actually turns out to be something valuable to us. You know, we undervalue all that stuff very, very easily. Another reason, I suppose, why it's important to improve our self-love, right?
Most definitely, because when you do improve your self-love, if you have a business like you and I or Daniel or any of your other, you know, co-hosts, then you understand just what the artist said. You know, it's not necessarily that the client is paying for, I don't know, the 8 weeks, 6 weeks, 3 months worth of coaching. It's the lifetime or the years that it has taken you to gain the knowledge to be able to get them where they need to go, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the intellectual property almost, in other words, that they're paying for, not necessarily the time period that they're spending with you. Yeah. I mean, look at Tony Robbins. That's why he gets paid. Mm-hmm. He gets paid, right?
Right. Yeah.
Because you're paying for his experience.
You're paying for the knowledge that he acquired over that experience too.
Right.
That knowledge is really, how do you put a price on something that changes your life?
And that's why, honestly, Walt, when I decided to go to the next price point in my coaching, that's exactly how I look at it. What I'm doing is I'm helping someone change their life, not right now, but for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Completely for the rest of your life. So to me, that's a drop in the bucket compared to you can take what I teach you and manifest millions of dollars, but you've only paid me thousands, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes
millions,
a difference.
Millions on millions, right? You can win the lottery. People do all the time.
It does happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't recommend starting there, but.
Right. Yeah, I'm not a lottery person either.
I'll play the lottery. I mean, there was that big jackpot, so I bought a $2 ticket, and I didn't worry about what happened one way or another.
Right.
I didn't win it. That was okay. No big deal. But that's the limit. I don't go nuts. I'm not buying a ticket every week and all that kind of stuff.
No.
That was just some fun money. You know, spend $2. Why not?
Yeah.
And actually, it was useful. I did get value out of it, by the way, even though I didn't win the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
The value I got is I took advantage of the fact that I bought the ticket and I started imagining what it would be like if I had won the lottery.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that.
So I was practicing imagining and it was real because I had my $2 on the line, right?
Right.
All $2 of it. But it was real. It was as real as the 24 cents you picked up off the parking lot. It didn't matter what the amount was. What mattered was the reality of it.
Right.
Made me conscious of what I was doing right then, right now, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, as I'm in the place of, okay, I bought this ticket. Let's see if I can manifest. Let's see what I can do. And what it really meant was, let's see how clearly I can imagine this thing that I'm trying to draw into my life. Of course, I went way over the top, you know, in terms of what I was going to do with it and how exciting it was going to be. But that's the whole point.
Yeah, that's part of it.
That's part of it. Yeah, just practicing that. I think that's probably the one thing that contributes more than anything else to developing self-love. Practicing using our imagination to create in our mind something that is not only really exciting, but we feel the excitement. Something
yes.
that's not only a fabulous thing, but it feels fabulous. You know, you can taste it, you can touch it, you can smell it. That's the skill. Because when we develop that skill, and I'm still learning that one, I imagine you probably are too. Once we really learn that skill, that's when manifestation happens just like that. It's just instantaneous because all the resistance is gone, you know?
Right. You're absolutely right. And if you, you know, like Neville Goddard, like I do, he always says, feeling is the secret. He truly believes that feeling is the secret to manifesting successfully. When you
can't
feel it.
It's definitely the secret. It's how the imagining becomes real to yourself.
Yeah.
It's not just an abstraction anymore.
And I help myself to get into that. I use AIDS. Right. So if there's an apartment complex or an apartment that I am manifesting, like I'm currently manifesting a luxury apartment in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
So I went on a tour and I took a video and I look at that video several times a day. And the way that I filmed it is if I am walking into it. So I imagine it as my home and when, you know, everything that's there. I see my furniture. I don't see how they have it furnished, right? And I get into the feeling, I get into the vibration that this is actually mine and that I'm coming home. Walt, I even went so far as to drive there and I took a video of driving down the road and turning in.
Nice.
To, you know, the thing during the daytime. And I also did the same thing for nighttime.
I love it. Oh, great. What attention to detail. That is really great. Yeah. Well, you're reminding me, I actually have, I call it my vision video. We talked last week about how I have aphantasia and I'm not really able to put images into my mind. So that's my, one of my replacements. I actually have put together a video. It focuses on three areas of my life that I'm attracting stuff in. And one of them is a house. And in this case, it's actually a video that was put together by a builder in Michigan. Now, I have no intention of moving to Michigan, but I liked a lot of elements of the house. And then my wife picked out some other images of other houses, you know, like a butler's pantry or a kitchen or whatever that she liked. And we kind of interspersed them. So we put together this video that's, I don't know, that portion of the video is probably about 5 minutes long of just walking through a house, including, like you said, walking into the front door, you know, so... And that's what I play for myself every day. It's part of that video. It's a three-part video. Yeah. And it's effective. I can tell it's effective. Even though the house hasn't shown up yet, I still know it's effective because the way I feel about the house has improved substantially since I created that video about almost 2 years ago. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's very important stuff. So, yeah, I like it. I love the fact that you did the video. What are you going to do with all that footage you shot?
Usually after I manifest, whatever I'm looking to manifest, I usually get rid of it. Sometime.
Okay. But until you manifest it, what do you do with it?
Oh, I just keep looking at it. Yep. Every day I keep looking at it. I'm huge on scripting too.
Okay.
So scripting and visualization are the two things that work the best for me. I'm pretty good at getting into the feeling. That's not hard for me.
How do you use scripting? What's your approach?
I usually script at night. So once I'm going into the alpha state right before bed, as I'm scripting, I am thinking about, again, Neville Goddard. So I'm always thinking about the end scene of what it is that I'm imagining. And for me, living in this apartment, right, that I want or that I'm going to get. So I usually start out the whole Bob Proctor way. I'm so happy and grateful, right?
Yep.
Always giving gratitude for the thing as it manifests. I'm always writing it in the present tense. So I'm so happy and grateful that I live at Society Los Olas and I love my apartment. I'm so happy and grateful that at night I get a chance to see the city lit up. I'm so happy and grateful that I get to look at the boats every day on New River, on and on and on, right? But it's always in the present tense. And as I'm writing it, I have to imagine it. And I'm able to imagine it, Walt, because I have this video that I've watched over and over and over. So as I'm writing it, I visually see that video in my mind.
The details. You have details to draw upon. It's a whole lot easier to have something like that to reference than to try to make them up in your mind out of thin air.
And that's what I teach to my clients. If there's something you know you want specifically where that clarity comes in at, hey, if you can find a picture, if you can physically go there like I was able to and take a video, right? Yeah. Anything that helps you.
That's really good. I like you're using video too. I'm glad to hear somebody else is doing that. I'm sure there are listeners who are doing it too, but I don't remember any other co-hosts who are doing it besides me. So it's nice to know there's another one who's doing video.
Oh, yeah. I'm a visual person.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a visual person. I'm still using it. That's why I'm doing it, because the visual doesn't work so well. So I got to feed it somehow.
Right. Exactly. Because like you said, it can be hard or difficult for some people to visualize it. So if you got an aid to help you, that's even better.
Yeah. Now I don't have to worry about that. I can't put it in my mind. I don't have to put it in my mind. I just look at it. It's right there. It's on the screen.
Yeah. Just memorize the video like I do.
Yeah. Or at least memorize what I can remember of it. It doesn't matter as long as it's improving. So, all right. Well, this has been really, really good. In fact, you're giving me some ideas for what we can talk about next week. But for the moment, we'll have to draw a close to the proceedings today. Thank you very much for all your insights. And thank you for suggestions that I'm going to use in my talk. I appreciate that very much. And thank you to Barbie for sending in her note. We appreciate that. Thank you to all of our live streamers and all of our podcast listeners, because without you, we wouldn't have a podcast. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.